Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Well, I sort of had a crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again.
We're back. It's 12 after. We're not on the road today, but we will be. A couple of weeks from now, we're going to be in Washington, D.C., helping the SBA celebrate Small Business Week. I'm really excited about that. And I don't think I've told you this yet, but on Wednesday night of Small Business Week, the last week of this month, that's the night they're going to celebrate the Hall of Fame dinner, one of the top soirees of the whole week. Hall of Fame, where they'll recognize four, five, or six companies. These are larger companies that now have become. They used to be small, and they got some help with the SBA, and some pretty famous folks in the past have been named to the Hall of Fame, and they're going to have a few more of those this year. And Hector Barreto, the administrator of the SBA, has asked me to be the MC of that event. I'm really excited about that. This will be my third year, I guess, to MC some of their events, but I've not been asked to do the Hall of Fame before, and I'm pretty excited about that. So we'll have fun. That's going to be in about 2 weeks. I'll be reporting all week from Washington, D.C. The show will be conducted all week long from Washington, D.C. I'm looking forward to that. And then in 2 weeks after that, we're going to be in Utah, in Salt Lake, and other parts of Utah broadcasting. So we got a couple of road trips coming up, and I'm really interested and excited about letting you meet some of the people who are going to be in those areas, and we'll have some really good people for you to talk to. I want to get back into what I promised you, and that's the resolutions. I want to do we'll call this a quarterly touch-up of our resolutions, just to see what you've been doing, if you've been accomplishing some of these, if you've thought about them. Maybe you meant to do something about it and you just didn't get around to it. You know, folks, it's not enough just to, if you're the owner, if you're the driver of your business, you're the rainmaker, you're the person that has the vision to start this business and certainly the vision to carry it forward. It's really not enough just to react to what comes in your door over the wire every day. You've got to make sure that's not leading your business. That's following your business. Your business's tail is wagging your dog, so to speak. If you're going to be successful, if all of us are going to be successful, and we're going to take our businesses in the direction that we think is the right direction, it's not enough just to buy and sell and hire and fire and et cetera, et cetera. It's not enough. We've got to be thinking about where we're going. We've got to find the time to do more than just react to our business and react to the way the marketplace comes into our business. We've got to be more proactive about these things, and that's why I recommend some of these resolutions that I mentioned earlier, so you could be thinking about them, and so you maybe take putting some of them into practice. And the first one was financial. And if you remember, I said I resolve, this is for you and me both, I resolve to produce regular and accurate financial statements for my business. Are you doing that? Are you creating financial statements? Do you know where your cash is? Do you know how much cash you have? Do you know how much, if you're making a profit, do you know if you're, you know, what your balance sheet looks like? If you don't, well, then basically from a financial standpoint, you're basically in a fog, in a car, driving 70 miles an hour the wrong way down a one-way street. And you have no way, you do not know where you're going. You do not know what's about to hit you. You don't know whether you're going to live or die in this business because you don't know what's happening. You got to be able to have regular and accurate financial statements. And so that's probably the hardest sledgehammer I'm going to hit you with today, but you got to do that. So if you're not doing it, there's no excuse, because there are too many programs out there. There are too many computer programs that make it easy for you. They're idiot proof, basically. You don't even have to know accounting. You just need to know what 1, 2, 3, and 4 are. You know, what are the, if you can identify the digits and you can push a button on a computer almost, you can do this. But more importantly, get a CPA to help you with this. Best investment you'll make. There is no better value in the marketplace than the money you spend for your CPA. And they don't pay me a penny to say that. So folks, be sure to do that. Also, now that you have your financial statements, I don't want you to be like the dog who chased the car and caught it and then said, now what do I do with it? Now, when you have your financial statements, I want you to know how to read them. I want you to not only know, I don't just want you to have them. I don't just want you to read them. I want you to manage with them. I want you to understand how to manage with them and to know what they're telling you. And to be able to see the relationship between the operating statement, which also is known as the P&L, profit and loss statement. I just like to use the operating statement because I think it's a little more accurate. Because you're always operating with it. You might not always be making a profit. But anyway, the operating statement and the balance sheet, two different documents. And what are they telling you about each other? What if one moves, if one of them moves in one way, what caused that on the other one? They offer different information, but they are connected, and you know the leg bone's connected to the hip bone on these things, and you need to know why, what's happening with these, and here's another good reason why you need to have these financial statements. You and I, neither one of us can grow without our bank. We can't really accomplish what we do without bank support from our banks, typically almost always in the form of bank loans. That's where we get our working capital, right? Of course we do. And they got to have this information. They can't make you a loan, and they certainly are not going to grow with you and help you get bigger and help you get more successful and stronger in your marketplace. They cannot do that without financial records. Without financial records, they think they can depend on. And one of the things you got to do, folks, is you got to understand what your banker is up against. There are some things you can say, would you please help me, and they'll help you with. But there are some things you can say, will you please help me? And they're going to say, I can't do that because you haven't done your job. You haven't come across with the things that I must have. I couldn't do this for anybody if I don't have this information. And that information is your financial records, your operating statement, and your balance sheet, and a current one and an accurate one. So that, I spend a little extra time on that because this is a biggie, folks. And in many of your, you know, at first you were saying, well, of course I have financial statements. And so, you know, why are you preaching to my choir? Okay, fine, good for you. But here's the question. Are you making an effort to get them accurate? And are you make sure they're accurate? And are you making an effort to get them regularly? And remember, regularly means that not 2 months or 3 months after the period of the cutoff period. And also, even if you have them, and even if you're getting them regularly, are you reading them, and are you managing with them? That's the question. Quick break. Van Halen's going to take us out. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about human resources, and then we'll move on. I think we'll move on to marketplace after that. 20 after. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Everybody's looking.
Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Buddy Holly, the late, great Buddy Holly on vocals, with the crickets behind him. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. If you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. Don't forget all the other things you can do there. Thousands of archives, over 3,000 shows that we've done in the past that you can listen to in the catalog there by category, by Brain Trust member. You can search it on the search engine. Lots of stuff you can do there. So I hope you'll check that out. Okay, we're talking about New Year's resolutions. We're doing a quarterly checkup of the ones that we talked about. I'm just hitting the high spots. I want to talk about the before we leave financial, I want to come back to one more thing. How many banks are you doing business with? Do you just have one bank, or do you have more than one bank? If you're a serious small business owner, if this is what you do, you must have more than one banker. You must have more than one bank. Because what we know about bankers, when I say banker, I should have said that to start with. You should have more than one bank, but you should also have more than one banker that knows your story, who knows your story. Because what we know about bankers is that they the same things happen to them that happen to the rest of us. They get transferred, they move, they decide to become to join a monastery, or they get run over by a truck, or whatever might happen. And if the only person that needs, that knows your story, if you only have one of those people, guess when they're going to go away? Guess when they're not going to be available to you to be able to help you get, you know, take the next step with your financial requirements? Guess when that's going to happen? At the absolute worst time. It's some kind of a natural, there's some kind of natural law or something that says that when you need your banker, if you only have one, then that's when they're going to go away. You're going to show up needing a quick loan or something to take care of an opportunity or whatever it might be. And they're going to say, I'm sorry, she's moved on. She doesn't live in this state anymore. Okay, so you got to have two banks. You got to have two bankers that know your story. One of them doesn't have to be both of them don't have to be your lead bankers. You can always have one lead bank and one bank that you do some business with, but not everything. But at least two bankers know your story, so that when you go to one place and they tell you your lead banker has gone away, you can go somewhere else and you don't have to start from square one. And typically I recommend that one of your banks be a large bank, and a larger regional bank, or sometimes they're called chain banks. And the other one is, I think, should be an independent community bank. You should have one of each, in my opinion. Okay, let's move on to human resources. Training. I want to talk about training. Have you done anything since we talked last about this, about getting your employees trained? Has there been an opportunity for you to find out about things that in your industry? Maybe a trade group is offering some kind of a program for them that could increase their level of capability, their level of proficiency. Maybe in salesmanship, maybe in organization, maybe in management, the local community college or the local university, the continuing education division. The Chamber of Commerce offers a lot of programs like this. Are you making your employees available? You know, those things are very inexpensive, high value, low cost. So I hope you'll take advantage of some of those and get your employees some training, because it's the best investment, some of the best investments you can make. And when you do it, it's a good morale builder too, folks. It's good loyalty building, because what you're telling your employees, and you should say this to them, you should say, look, I'm going to send you this course. I'm going to pay to have information put in your head that I hope you'll use while you're with me. But if you leave, you're going to take it with you in your head. So I'm making an investment in you. I think you get to say that. And so it lets them know that you want them to be better at what they do, but that you're investing in their future. And so I encourage you to do that. Let's move on and talk about the marketplace a little bit. Have you done anything since we last talked about this, about branding? Have you thought any more about your brands? Have I been completely able to disabuse you of the notion that just because you're a small business, you can't have brands? I hope I've done that. I hope my Brain Trust members, our branding experts, have done that, because that's one of the most important things we could do for you, is to help you understand that you have brands. Just because you're not Coca-Cola, just because you're not Cadillac, just because you're not, you know, one of the big companies who have these brands that they spend billions of dollars a year to develop and to make sure that are in front of you and me, just because you and I don't have that, doesn't mean that we don't have brands. And the truth is we all have brands, and we can use those brands and leverage them in the marketplace, and we can dominate. Peter Meyer, one of our marketplace experts, has told us that he's written a book about the topic. We can dominate with our brands. It is possible in the 21st century for a small business owner to dominate with their brands. But you can't do any of that unless you actually say, I have brands. I know I have brands, because that's one of them. This is it. And you're using it in your marketing material. You're using the brands. And I'm not talking about a logo here either, folks. I'm talking about what's behind the logo. The delivery, the critical mass, the service, how customers want it and they don't want to do without it. Those are brands. Are you doing anything about that? Think about that. If you need more help with that, start reading about it. Go to our website and listen to some of those archives on branding. There's some good stuff in there. 29 After, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back with our good friend, Russell Brown. This show is brought to you by IBM. and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.